Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, this is the first time I got a clap. That's good. Welcome to church, everyone. If this is your first time coming to our church, you are a very special guest, and I'd like you to just sit back, relax, and I hope you've enjoyed your experience with us so far. And I'd like to remind every one of us, as we begin our sermon this morning, that our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. That means none of us is perfect, and that's why we gather here every weekend to celebrate God's goodness in giving us the forgiveness that we so desperately need. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world not to condemn the world, but to die so that he could pay for the penalty for our sins. And that's why we call it good news. And that's why, even though we're not perfect, we can be seen as perfect in God's eye because of what Jesus has done for us. So thank you for joining in. If you are listening on a podcast or tuning in our YouTube channel, welcome and thanks for joining in as well. Hey, the compassion booth outside, let me just remind you before I start today that please have a look, and for less than $2 a day, you can make a difference in a child's life. And our church is a compassion church partner, and we love to partner with Compassion. We believe it's a top-rated organization, very efficient in their running and very effective in what they do. I've been with them for so many years now. We ourselves sponsored 3 children. My wife and I and our son, Jaden, was the one who pushed us. Hey, Dad, can we sponsor one more? And I said to Jaden initially, no, Jaden, you know, we have a lot of expenses, but why not? Jaden asked, and eventually we prayed, and it's clear. You know, if only you're willing to make a bit of sacrifice, you can actually make a difference in a child's life. So do check it out after our worship experience today. All right, we are on the 3rd week of our series that we are calling Experiencing God, and I've received so much good feedback out of this series. If you missed the last 2 weeks, I encourage you to get caught up in our YouTube channel or download our app. You can listen or watch our sermon there as well. And right now we are on week 3, but don't worry, if this is your first time tuning in into this series, I'm going to get you caught up really quickly so that you know what's going on, all right? But before we do, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much because you are here in our midst today. Father, we know that you are always at work around us, and you are drawing people to yourself. And this morning, Lord, the reason why we're here, I know behind the scene, it is your Spirit that drew us into this place. So, Father, we know that you have something special to say to us. So speak to us like only you can. We're willing to lay aside our distraction and everything else, Lord. We want to listen to you because man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word that comes from your mouth. So thank you for speaking to us. We are ready to listen right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen. Amen. Well, we started this series 2 weeks ago by saying that there are 7 realities when you want to experience God in your day-to-day walk, in your day-to-day life. The book by Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God, said there are 7 realities that we must be aware of. Reality number 1 is this, that God is always at work around you. Maybe you don't think so, but God is always at work around you. And God has a specific will for this world, and His will is for the world to be reconciled back to Him, because this world is not a perfect world. This world is a sinful world. That's why I told you that the best question to ask if you want to know God's will is not what is God's will for my life, but the better question to ask is what is God's will? What is God's will? Because God's will for your life will never be outside of God's will for this world. We need to remember, especially as followers of Christ, that God is not our servant, that He needs to adjust His activities to our desires. It's the opposite. We are God's servants, and we need to adjust our desire to what God is doing in this world. That's why the best question that you could ever ask, if you want to know what is your purpose in this world, what God wants you to do, is to ask, what is God's will for this world? All right, that's week number 1. And then reality number 2 is this, that God always pursues a love relationship with you. God never stops pursuing a love relationship with you. Once again, if you come here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, maybe you don't know anything about Jesus, you don't know anything about God, let me tell you, God doesn't want to abandon you in your sin. God did the hard work 2,000 years ago. You know, as a father, I know how hard it is. You know, I love my son so much. But God did the unthinkable 2,000 years ago when he gave us Jesus. That's why the very famous John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not die, will not perish, but have eternal life." So this morning, I want to tell you the good news. The good news is Jesus loves you. God loves you. God hates your sins, but he loves you. He loves you enough to sacrifice his own son so that you could have eternal life together with him. So I want to challenge you this morning, if you're not yet a follower of Christ, to open up your heart to the possibility that God exists. Not only does he exist, but he wants to pursue this love relationship with you. You can go to the connection desk, you can ask me, you can join Answer to find out more if you want to know more about that. This week, we are on reality number 3, and this is all related, by the way. They're all built on top of each other. And reality number 3, if you want to experience God in your life, is this. God invites you to join him in his work. You know, God wants to invite you to join him in his work. God is always at work. We know that from reality number 1. And God never left the work of his hand. You know, if you read your Bible, the way God works, the way God accomplishes his purpose in this world is by inviting people to join him in his work. When he wanted to help people from severe famine in the land, he called a young man by the name of Joseph and propped him up to the highest position to stop famine. When God wanted to help the nation of Israel from being massacred when they were captured by the Persian, God sent a young woman by the name of Esther. When God was preparing for the Messiah to come to this world, he called a man by the name of John the Baptist to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus died to make it possible for us to have eternal life. And God used a very rich businessman by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, and God led him to land his tomb for Jesus, and that makes resurrection possible. Without the tomb, we won't have the resurrection. See, God is always inviting people to join him in his work. And if you are breathing today, and if you are alive today, and you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, the invitation is still open. God is also inviting you right now to join him in his work. I want to read to you a passage by the Apostle Paul, the apostle who used to be the prosecutor of Christianity, and then he realized when he met the resurrected Jesus that God had a purpose for his life. And this is what Paul says. It's very powerful. It's found in the letter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. This is what Paul wrote. I want all of you to pay attention, all right? Paul says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Listen to that. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That's his biggest work here on earth. That's his main reason, you know, for you to stay alive, for you to breathe and live and you know, and be in church today is because God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And this is the second part, right? There are two parts to the death of Jesus Christ, right? First, he was reconciling the world to himself. Second is this, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God actually gave you the charge. God gave me the opportunity to be a messenger for him. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, all right? There are two things that you can do. If you're not a follower of Christ, Paul says, be reconciled to God. God has made it possible, but you have to want it. Be reconciled to God. And if you are already reconciled to God, Paul is saying to you this, hey, wake up. Do you know that you are all Christ's ambassadors in this world? That's a lofty position. That's a high responsibility for us to be the representation of Jesus Christ here on earth. And that's what we are called to do, all right? This is what a lot of Christians don't get. People think being saved, all right, believing in Jesus Christ is all about getting to heaven. Yeah, it is true. Part of it is all about being
in with God forever for eternity. It's true, but that's only one half of the purpose why Jesus died on the cross. Here's the deal. When God saved you, all right, the call to salvation is a call to live a self-centered life and return to a God-centered outlook and be on mission with God. Do you know that that is the very definition of sin? The very definition of sin is a self-centered life. You left, right? When we say we sin, we left the God-centered life that we were created for and live a self-centered life. That's why, you know, we never want to have anything to do with God. But when God saved us, God wants to turn that around again to where it's supposed to be. God wants you to live your life of self-centeredness into a God-centered outlook and join Him in His work. That's what salvation is all about. It's not just about to get you into heaven, but God wants to accomplish great things through you, all right? And there are two reasons for this. Reason number one is this. God wants us to complete the work that He has already begun. God started the ball rolling 2,000 years ago. In fact, the Old Testament, if you want to say it this way, is all looking toward the coming of Messiah. See, Jesus is the center of everything. The Old Testament people, Moses, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all looking toward the coming of the Messiah that God has promised. And now we're looking back to what Jesus has done on the cross. So God wants us to complete His work that He has already begun 2,000 years ago. When Jaden was smaller, we bought him a lot of toys. He's our only son. You know, I have to admit, we spoiled him pretty bad. He got all the toys in the world that he wanted. But most of the toys, unfortunately, that you buy, you have to do what? You have to assemble yourself, right? They make you work. You know, you pay a lot of money and they still make you work. And a lot of these toys are pretty complicated to assemble. So usually what I do is I do all the hard work. I assemble. Sometimes it takes me 3 days, 4 days, you know, depending whether or not I choose to read the manual. But I did all the hard work assembling these toys. And then at the last minute, you know, I left a few bits and pieces so that Jaden can join in, right? I mean, that's what good parents do. So Jaden would join in, you know, put this thing here, Jaden, turn it this way. And then Jaden was so happy that we did it, Dad. Yes, we did it. Yeah, we did it. I gave him an opportunity to feel like he's part of something that is useful. And that's good. And I think that's what God is doing with all of us. Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think God can accomplish everything He wanted to accomplish without us? Of course He could. He's God, all right? He could do anything. But guess what? God doesn't have plan B. He has only one plan, and that is one plan only. Plan A, God says through Jesus in Matthew 28, go into all the world, teach them everything I have taught you, make disciples of all nations. God wants you to participate with Him in His work. He wants you to complete the work that He already begun 2,000 years ago. That's reason number one. Reason number two is this. God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. You know, our relationship with God is very dynamic. It's not stale. God wants to be really, really close to us. He wants you to understand what is inside His heart. And we, as we work with God and for God, God grows us more and more, all right? If you are stuck right now in your spirituality, maybe you've done everything, you've gone to enough Bible studies, you know, you've done enough activities, church activities, outside church activities, but you still feel stuck. The reason for that is this. There will be a place, there will be a time in your life where you will not grow anymore until you choose to join God in His work. Let me tell you right now. Some of you, you're so keen on doing more Bible study. You even go to Bible college. You listen to so many different podcasts throughout the week. You feel like you need to be filled up with the Word of God. You want to know more. That's great. But you're wondering, how come I'm stuck? How come I don't feel like I'm growing? How come, you know, despite all of these sermons that I hear, despite of all these activities that I do, I feel like I'm in a log jam. And I'm not growing. Well, let me tell you why. There is a place in your life where you will not grow anymore until you join God in His work. You see, that's God's desire for you. He wants you to keep growing. You know, people go to church for different reasons, yeah? Some people go to church, they treat church like a petrol station, you know. I need to get filled up. I need to get filled up. God, fill me up. They love to listen to powerful sermons, you know, to get filled up. And then they go throughout the week happy because they got filled by the Word of God. That's fantastic. Some people treat church like a cinema. You know, they put the trouble aside at the door. They want to be entertained for 2 hours. You know, entertain me, make me happy. As long as I go happy, I feel like I've accomplished my purpose in coming to church this week. Yeah? And if you know, what happens when you go to the cinema and you don't like the movie that you watch? You complain like, oh man, that's a waste of $10 or $15, how much ever you pay for cinema these days, which is a crazy amount. But and then the same thing with you, you know, you rate how good the worship experience was by how good the sermon was, how good the worship song set was, and then you know, if you go away feeling entertained, you said, wow, that was really good. I'm very happy about church today. Some people treat church as a cinema. Some people treat church like a chemist. You know, they go to church and they just want to get their prescription filled out to take away some of the pains that they have. Yeah? So they go to church for that reason, just to be eased from their discomfort, from pain that they're experiencing in their life. And that's fantastic. And some people treat church like a big department store. This is for everything. I want the church to take care of my children. I want the church to take care of my youth. I have this need. And, you know, for as little money as possible, as long as the church provides me with all these things, I'll be really, really happy. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong with all of that, by the way. There's nothing wrong with all of that. We as a church here strive to provide you with biblical messages every week. We strive as a church to give the best possible education, spiritual education for your children. We strive to give relationship, meaningful, good relationship for your youth. You know, we strive to do everything we can in our power to serve you in this church. But here's the problem. Do you know that none of these images of church is biblical? Do you know that? When you say to yourself, come, fill me, entertain me, take my pain away, serve me, what does that have in common? The focus of the church is you. The focus of the church is you. And if you're not a Christ follower, let me tell you, you are our focus right now. We create this environment for you. You are the reason why we exist. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? Come here, stay back as long as you like because we're here for you. We want you to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. But if you are a Christ follower, right? If you claim to be a Christian, that's not how you should view church because at the very core, that is self-centeredness. Jesus Christ did not die so that you could be like that. He died for your sins so that you could join Him in His work that He began 2,000 years ago. So, the question is, how is it that God is inviting me to do His work right now? All right? I want to mention to you 3 different ways, and then we'll end with this. Number one is this. He invites you to an intimate relationship with Him. That's the first thing that you need to know, all right? If you're a Christ follower, once again, God wants to have a relationship with you. Not just at the beginning when you first put your faith in Jesus Christ, but day by day. You know, you can't do anything unless your life is based on a love relationship with God. God doesn't want you to just work, 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 serve, serve, serve. God doesn't want you to do that. The most important thing to God is for you to have a relationship with Him, all right? That's why a lot of Christian workers, a lot of volunteers, pastors even, they got burned out after some time. You know why? Because what they do is not based on a love relationship with God. It is based only on their own strength. It is based on their desire to do something significant with their life, which is great. But unless it is based on a love relationship with God, it's not going to work. At least it's not going to work for the long run. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. We're not the vine. Jesus is the vine. He is the source of life. He is the source of our strength. He is our motivation. He is our everything. He is the vine. We're just the branches. And Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me. And if you remain in me, I remain in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That's the very first thing, all right? If you want to do great things for God, this is reality number two. God pursues a love relationship with you, Christian and non-Christian alike. If you want to do great things for God, let me tell you, you need to keep your love relationship with Jesus alive. You know the secret to a happy marriage? Is that you need to put in the work. You need to maintain that love relationship with your wife, with your husband, correct? You can't just go on happily married unless you maintain that love relationship with your spouse. It's the same thing with our Christian walk. You need to continue to abide in the love of Jesus Christ if you ever want to do anything significant for Him in your life. That's the first thing, all right? So if you're some of you here, you volunteered with us for a long time and you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about maybe I need to take a break and all that, that's fine. But I want you to probably do a little bit of introspection and ask yourself, how is my walk with God? How is my walk with Jesus? Have I been serving out of my own strength, or have I been relying only on the love of Jesus for me? So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. God builds character to match the assignment, all right? Listen to this one. He will not give a big assignment to a small character. He will not do that. If you want to do great things for God, first, you need to build your character, all right? And the only way for you to build your character is for you to build a love relationship with Him. So that's why we always go back to that foundation again. You need to have your relationship with Jesus really, really strong. And as you relate to Jesus in a love relationship, then God will build your character. You see, you need to be willing to do whatever it takes for God. Because as God molds your character, He's going to give you more and more responsibility. He will not give a big assignment to a small character. All right? Remember Peter? Peter is always the loudmouth disciple of Jesus Christ. He's the first to say something. You know, he's not afraid of anything, so it seems. And then when Jesus told the disciples that He was going to die, right? He was going to be betrayed. This is what Peter said. Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. No one should ever betray you. Nothing's going to happen to you. I'll be the first to defend you." That's what Peter said. But how many of you know that you can't fool God? God knows your character, all right? And this is what Jesus says. "I'll tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me." You're willing, but you don't have the character to show for it. And that's why you can't do it. You see, it's not until God works in Peter's life, and He restores Peter, by the way. You know, after the resurrection, He came to Peter, Jesus, and asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Again, we go back to that love relationship again. "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" And then after the third time, Peter just broke down. "Oh, God, you know everything. You know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my lamb," Jesus said. See? Unless God builds your character, He cannot give you a big assignment. If you want to do great things for God, look at your character. Let God shape you and mold you into the person that He wants you to be. That's number three. Number three, work where God is at work doing things only God can do. Work where God is at work doing things only God can do. Do you know that only God can draw people to themselves? Remember last week? Was it last week or the week before? Last week, we said that no one seeks God. We only seek the benefit that we can get from God. You know, no one does what is right because that's just sin. We don't want to do what is right. Sin doesn't mean that you're as bad as you can be, but every aspect of our lives has been tainted by sin. So that's why when you hear someone seeking God, when you have a conversation with your colleague at work, with your friend at school, and this person, it looks like they're seeking God, that means God is the one who is drawing that person to Himself. And you realize God is at work, you join God where He is at work. You have a flat tire, for example. And then you had to bring your car to a mechanic to get your tire fixed. And then you wonder why. Why, God, why is this happening? So you talk to the person behind the counter. And for whatever reason that you don't understand, the person behind the counter said, man, life sucks, eh? And then he said, uh-oh. If you are aware that God is always at work, you take this as a cue. This is breadcrumb that God is leaving. Oh, flat tire. This person suddenly, you don't know this person suddenly say, life sucks, you know, just want to die. You said, hey, what happened? Tell me, man. This person started telling you about his broken marriage and this and that. And he said, hey, that's tough. But I'll pray for you. I'm a Christian. I don't know if you believe in God or not, but I believe God knows what's going on in your life, and I'll pray that God will deliver you from that. You don't know what that one simple statement can do to that person. God is always at work. You join God where He is at work, doing things that only God can do. All right? Here's what Paul says again. Remember this verse. This is a very powerful verse. God wants you to be His mouthpiece in this world, okay? God wants you to join Him wherever you are. You could be, at home, for example. Some of you're married to a non-Christian. You're married to an unbelieving spouse, for example. And despite your best effort, you know, you try, hey, come on, go to church, read your Bible, do this. And then not only does your husband or your wife want to come to church, but they go further and further away from God because you've been pushing them too hard. You don't realize where God is at work. You are trying to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. You can't do that, all right? You have to realize where God is at work and join Him where He's working. So if you are a Christian and your spouse is not a Christian, the best thing you could ever do, listen to me, right? It's not by badgering them to come to church. It's by praying for them. That's the best thing you could ever do. Praying for them and be the best husband, the best wife you could possibly be. I was the first Christian in my family, all right? My dad didn't care anything about Christianity. My friend told me about Jesus, and I started to believe in Jesus at the time, and then I finally gave myself for baptism. I believe in Jesus. I started spending a lot of time in church, and my dad was not very happy at all. He thought the church was brainwashing me. But I knew, you know, if you're an Asian parent, you know this, right? Asian parent only cares about one thing. What is that? Study, right, for the children. I was such a lazy student, you know. I just got by. I think I'm pretty smart. I'm not genius, but I'm okay. But I always got by. I was too lazy to do anything important in my life. But at that very moment, when I realized that my dad cares about my education, I will do whatever I can in my power to speak His language. And I will study as hard as I can. Actually, not for myself. I don't care about study. I studied hard because I know that's where God is at work. And then I did. I studied hard. I never got, you know, such good grades in my life ever before until my dad looked at my report card and he didn't care anymore. For all I care, my dad said, you could live in the church, spend, you know, the rest of your life at church. As long as your result is good, I'm okay with it. And then pretty soon, my dad became a believer. The whole family became believers because I speak the language. I join God where God is working. That's what you need to do. You know, just be aware where God is working and then join Him in His work. So, how can you take part in what God is doing in our church? Because I believe the church is the hope of the world. The reason why Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The reason why Jesus said that is because God wants to do His greatest work through the local church. I really, really believe that. We are all the church, yeah? We are all the church. When you go out from this place, you are the church. You are the representation, the ambassador of Jesus Christ where you are, in your family, in your workplace, in your school. But when we gather together, we are also the church. All right? We are also the church. You are the church. And our church will not be better than you because you are the church. Okay? If you want to know, God, where are you at work? Let me tell you, God is at work right here in our church right now. Do you know that not next week, but the following week is our 1 year anniversary since our grand opening last year, right? So we've been here about a year, slightly less than a year if you count from the grand opening time. Do you know, in less than a year, we have grown more than tripled in our attendance. We have grown more than tripled. God is working in this place. You see, now, before you think I'm proud and all that, we're not doing anything different than what we did 2 years ago. God is sending the wave our way. We can't create the wave. We can't draw people to God. Only the Spirit of God can do that. All we do is just riding the wave right now, all right? It is obvious that God is at work in our place. So what I want you to do is, I want you to continue to do this. This is the evangelism strategy of our church. Invest and invite. Invest your life in the life of your friends outside of the church, right? Be interested in their life. Be genuinely interested, not just as an object of evangelism. I don't care about all that. But just be genuinely interested in their life, all right? Love them like Jesus would love them. And as God would give you the opportunity, because the Spirit works in a mysterious way, as God would give you the opportunity, invite them to come to church. Because guess what? There's something powerful when the people of God get together. There's something different when the people of God get together that you can't duplicate on your own talking to your friend about Jesus. By all means, do all that. But when you invite them to come to church, we guarantee you that we're going to treat them well in this place. We will love them. We will welcome them. We will speak clearly in language that they can understand. Invest and invite. Number two, I want you to give regularly, because what we do requires money, obviously, right? I know the complaint people have with churches. Oh, the churches want your money. Well, when you go to the cinema wants your money as well. Do you know that? When you go to the supermarket wants your money because they need to continue to operate. That's the deal. We need to pay for electricity. We need to pay for staff salary. We need to pay for our ministry expenses. It's just the fact of life. So if you believe in what we do in this place, okay, I want you to start praying whether or not this is the place where you need to sow and give regularly to our church. And then finally, I want you to volunteer with us. I want you to volunteer with us. You know, we are stretching right now. We are stretching everywhere. And it's not even funny how my sister this morning was here like earlier than me because she has to serve back-to-back in our children ministry today. They are stretching. Our parking team is stretching now because we have two services. You know, our production team at the back, we are all stretching right now, all right? We are all stretching. And we need as many people as possible to make what we do here possible. Let me ask you this question, final question, all right? Do you know who are the lead actors in the movie Fast and Furious 8? The Fate of the Furious. I watched it with Jaden the other day. It was fantastic. I love it. Who were the main actors? Do you know? Vin Diesel and The Rock Johnson. Yeah. Watch that movie. If you want to drive fast, you need to have bald head like me. Just look at the poster of that movie. Let me tell you, right? Some of you are starting to imagine right now. Yeah, he's right, you know. Anyway, Vin Diesel, my body double, is the lead character. And also Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Do you know who's in charge of visual effect for that movie? Do you know who's the director of photography? Do you know the stunt people in that movie? You don't know, do you? Let me tell you, these are some of the people that work behind the scene. I went to imdb.com. There are literally like hundreds of people working in this movie. These are just some of the leaders of their department. Under production design, under visual effect, there are hundreds of people working for that movie to make that movie possible. Do you know every Sunday we're here, you only see people playing the bass, the drums, people greeting you at the door. But do you know behind the scene, there are people who set up these chairs, there are people who welcome you, people working for your children in a kids ministry area. We need you. We need every single one of you, all hands on deck, because God is doing something great in our midst right now. And we can't afford to just let go, all right? We need to continue to ride the wave for as long as God gives us this wave of people coming, wanting to know Him, wanting to know His love, desperate for reconciliation. People with broken hearts, people with failed finances. Oh, I can give you testimony after testimony how our church has been a blessing to them. Maybe in the next few weeks I will give you some of them. But I'm telling you, God is doing great work in our midst right now. And I want to invite you. God is inviting you to join Him in His work. Where you are, in your office, in your school, at home, and even in your church. So if you're not yet participated in what we do, sign up at the connection desk. Just say, I don't know what you need, but sign me up. I'll do whatever it takes. We'll give you options. Don't worry. We're not going to put you in a place where we don't need you. We're not going to put you in a place where that you can't flourish. So we're going to give you options. All right. If you know exactly where you want to be, all good. Right. But if you don't know, you just know that God is inviting me to join Him in His work. And I need to put up my hand. I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. Sign me up. If that's you, go to the connection desk and do take part in the life of our church.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.